I want you to put your hands together.
There goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
There goes to the neighborhood.
I mean, I didn't take my hairy ball downstairs. You know,
it is
a hairy ball.
That son of a bitch has been dribbled. Exactly. God dang, it's got some mileage.
Well, I don't even know where that came from. I lost my good ball somewhere. I guess I left. I lost my good ball. My sticky one.
Oh, shit.
It had grip.
Oh.
I lost the sticky ball.
Son of a bitch.
Somewhere a long time ago. And then, anyway, I went out there and just stood there waiting for them to, and they were playing 2-on-2. I was like, I got to go. I ain't got time to stand here in the sun. But then, me and Cannon went today and checked on my geocaches and walked through the woods a little bit. So I felt better. And then I mowed and shit. And I go up these steps all the time. So I feel better about myself.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you brought geocaching up.
Yeah, I had to go check on my shit, man. Nobody's found it in months and months. Like, what the hell? But it's good. It works. Still there.
Good.
Have
there you
working.
Seen the shit on TikTok, the rando nodding?
No. I hadn't watched TikTok. Well, I have a few times the last couple of days, but I hadn't seen. I've been seeing, I don't know.
Jamie, pull up rando nodding.
Yes. Young Jamie. Where's he at? Dude, where did young Jamie go?
I'm telling you. This is what it is. It's geocaching. It's like dark web geocaching.
Oh, dark web geocaching.
You get coordinates, and you go there, and you might find a dead body. There have been chopped up bodies found in suitcases at these coordinates.
Like these real kids, coordinates.
Real coordinates.
Oh, God.
And yeah, I've seen about probably six rando nodding. But evidently there's an app that it does the stuff for you.
Oh, great.
And I've seen about six different videos. Some will lead you to like weird abandoned houses. One I saw was a wrecked car in the woods. Looked freshly wrecked, like why it hadn't been towed out of there. Like you could see where it had ran off the road into the woods enough where you couldn't see it from the road.
Right.
All the windows busted out. It was a newer car. And I'm thinking, you know, what the hell? Who? What is somebody trying to say? I wouldn't open the trunk of that fucker.
Hell no.
I don't. But these ones I saw, they found this suitcase. It was down by like a shoreline. And it said, we can't show you, you know, the kid was like, what's in it? What's in it? It's heavy. And then the writing came up on there. You know how TikToks are.
Yeah.
It was like,
yeah.
This is when the cops were called. There was a body in there, but they have found several like dead dogs.
Oh, God.
This is serial killer shit. It's geocaching for like serial killer weirdos.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not doing any dark web related anything. I don't want to see it, man. I just don't want to.
No.
Ignorance is bliss. I can't watch shit like that no more, man. I can't see that kind of shit.
I don't. Like, I have a hard time thinking that, okay, this is a thing. If James knows about it, Indianapolis,
yeah, right.
Then the authorities have to know about it, right?
Yes.
It seems like any new thing that got listed on there, they would go send somebody out there too.
That don't make any sense.
It's weird. But
or
yeah.
it could be faked. Is it faked? Possibly
could
some
be.
Of them.
Yep.
You never know.
Absolutely could be. Yep. And I think some of the comments accuse them of being fake sometimes like that. But rando nodding is a weird. That car, though, that got me. There is a newer model car, all the windows busted out, in the woods.
Well, it's like when Ozzy Man was on our old podcast, and he told us about, you know, all the videos, because he had a lot of issues with these videos, because you thought, okay, he's just picking a viral video and doing commentary over it. No, he has to buy that shit.
Yes.
And they're all fake for marketing.
Yep. That's a letdown.
It's almost like when you found out wrestling was fake, you know.
And as I just told you that about the car.
Oh, now you're just thinking back.
I'm just thinking, honestly, those kids could have wrecked that car.
Yes.
filmed it like it was random auditing before they called a cop.
Like Mr. Beast on YouTube. He spends $750,000 for a video, you know, buying a fucking island, a private island, and he just gives it away in the next video.
He gets tagged in a lot of stuff. I could not imagine. He has to have several helpers.
I mean, that's what YouTube is now, man. It's because people... Because you got the 1% up here of huge channels that it didn't get affected by whatever happened to all the rest of us small fries. And then, so everybody's turned into a commentary channel. I can't blame them. I want to do it too. So they talk about Mr. Beast and how he's got it down. Or they talk about, we were talking about the Pokimane thing earlier, this Twitch, you know, streamer.
Mm-hmm.
About all the commentary channels talked about her for the last 2 months straight. Every one of them, because they all get views. And then when she reacts to them, it keeps the cycle going.
Right.
I mean, so that's what everything is now, is feeding off each other's fame.
Yep.
So we need to get on here and talk about PewDiePie and Pokimane and Ninja and just pick them. Philip DeFranco, I don't know. We just need to throw out names and let the algorithm pick those up and throw them in the title.
Maybe we could have a monthly thing where we go the you know, YouTube celebrity of the month.
Yeah,
since we do four podcasts a month, we could dedicate one of those to pick one. I'll spend that, you know, that month looking them up and finding out shit about them.
Because I don't keep up with it a lot, but like some Twitch drama and YouTube drama I do occasionally, I'll get down one of those rabbit holes. That's why I knew about all that shit. Because I see all the commentary channels I watch, they're all talking about it. So you can't not know about it if you watch anything. Well, but it's like, that's what pretty much, because every, it's like I was telling you, it's like the ones I'm talking about, a particular couple that I'm talking about, at the core, they're like comic channels or pop culture channels in some way, movies and comics and whatever. But then they talk about all this other stuff, the commentary on it. So they keep up with it. And then some go political and all that stuff too.
Now,
let me ask you this. The big thing to do now.
What about how...
That's a pretty daisy.
How will the future view Mr. Beast?
The future?
He's a philanthropist.
He is. He's in North Carolina too, by the way.
Right. I mean,
you know, he lives up in my old college town.
Will there be
that area?
You know, people talking about him 20 years from now, going, you know, back when there used to be these things called YouTube millionaires.
Yeah. Right.
You know, they did a lot of good. Not all of them were greedy. you could, you know, reach out to them sometimes if there was a good cause or.
Yeah.
Or is he, I mean, like, is he really a good guy or is he?
I think he is.
I do
personally,
too.
But
just
the thing is,
I've seen of him.
The thing is, what he's
but
done.
But you can't help everybody.
No, you can't. And the thing is, though, is. And he'll tell you this, I think, so I'm just going to throw it out there. He used to be a horrible YouTuber. I mean, he'll tell you that. You can see it. He's done this shit forever.
Mm-hmm.
And when he started doing the money thing, where like the first one where he gave $1,000 to a homeless guy or whatever, mm-hmm. The reason he's so good now and he understands the game is because it's all about storytelling now. And, you know, it always has been in some way, but he figured that out. When he puts a video up, it's going to be 15 minutes or more. Somewhere in that range, and you have to, you cannot like start one of his videos and not watch it.
Yeah.
You have to see who wins the money or who takes home the car or the house or the island. So it's the perfect storytelling mechanism because he don't have the greatest editing. It's him and his group of friends and they go around and give money away essentially in some way. And you have to see that. You cannot like not finish his video.
Right. But to get giant,
I like know. Like he is, you had
your viewers are kids.
Yeah,
you know, you got to have that kid. Because
he started doing Minecraft videos and shit. He was just a gamer, doing Minecraft videos.
And
so, at what point did he
those kids
save
up
$1,000 and did the first one and just happened to take off, or did it take like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he had to like invest to get to that point where now these huge sponsors are paying. You know, I can't imagine his tax guy.
That's the ones I've seen of his.
Like,
that's
like
the way
honey.
It looks to me is like he'll say, you know, yeah, a sponsor gave me this money to give.
Yeah, that, and you know, well, it's not all that from my understanding, because he's got such a huge merch thing too. And he said that before, like, these videos are made possible by, you know, go to MrBeast.com and buy my shit.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what allows me to buy these things or whatever he's doing, give away this money, or, you know, donate $10,000 to a streamer with one viewer on Twitch, you know, yeah, shit like that.
I've seen that shit too, where they'll just drop in randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love it's to cool. watch those. Those are good reaction videos when you see that video, that guy playing a video game, and all of a sudden,
yeah, he's got one viewer or none.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden, ding, and when it
and they're like, huh, this is fake.
And because your mind, like, you process that, you're like, it's got to be fake because it says $10,000. But Streamlabs don't lie. Whatever they typed in is what popped up on your screen is the little alert. And then you're going, wait a minute, it can't be fake.
That's so crazy.
And then some of these people are crying. I mean, it's life-changing for them people. And I get it, man. I get it
that
now.
That is really cool.
I completely get it. Because I'm like back as like a beginner level on right. everything. Right. I mean, seriously, no. I mean, it's literally, I've showed you analytics. It's literally the same as it was in 2015 for me. And now, so... Yeah, you always, there's always in the back of your mind when you get on Twitch, you're like, you're hoping Mr. Beast will pop in there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Can you help a North Carolina boy out?
Yeah, no shit, man. So,
I don't know. But that's the perfect, idea. It's the perfect, he's got the perfect layout now as far as, well, I wouldn't, not layout, what am I looking for? The perfect, not plan, formula.
Yeah.
The goddamn formula is what I'm
now,
saying.
Is ain't he the same guy that like filled up that swimming pool with those balls?
Yeah, the orbits.
The orbits, yeah.
Yep. All
yeah,
that
they
kind
do
of
some
stuff.
Crazy shit. They, but on that one, he bought his dad a car or something.
Yeah,
his friend's dad a car.
Yes, and the same guy, his buddy, they for one video, they went in there and stole all this furniture. They and made it look like a break in, but then of course they furnished the whole house.
With nice
they bought him a
shit.
Brand new house with and put it all in there.
That's really cool.
So all that kind of shit, man.
Now, I wonder how will the future look at them as, okay, that was just their way of perpetuating this machine that they had built, or were
yeah,
will
that's
they be
right.
viewed as anybody, you know, that we grew up hearing who, you know, had a foundation or
right,
you
right.
know,
no,
something
I think
that.
I think it's a valid question. I think a little bit of both. I mean, he wants to continue. Like, I think with Jimmy in particular, that's his name, by the way, if you didn't know. I think Jimmy. He wants to be the guy who catches PewDiePie, which is fine. I think he's got like 40 million subs.
You gotta have a goal.
So he only needs 70 more million subs to go, and he'll catch PewDiePie. But I think he wants to be the one to do that. So he's got those personal goals, and he's obviously making good money. But I think he does have, you can see it in the videos, I think he's legitimately cares about these people. Because I know the town he's doing all this shit in. I used to, I went to school there. Or he's very close by.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
You'd
exactly.
You'd think he'd move, but.
Nah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know where he bought this island. I mean, it's obviously
What is it, like an island on a lake or something?
No, this is somewhere, I don't know where. It's
wow.
an actual island.
Damn.
In the tropics.
Wow.
And $750,000 it cost him, and he gave it away to one of his friends who won a challenge like Survivor.
Oh, shit.
But it's always his buddies he gives it to. You know? I mean, he does a lot
fun.
Of shit for strangers. I'm not saying whatever. You know, I'm not critiquing him.
Right.
You know, whatever. He's made it. It don't matter if it goes boom tomorrow. He's good. But, and then... I mean, every video is a sponsored, a huge. Can you imagine? Like, we were talking to somebody about getting a free wallet.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
No money in it.
I mean,
just
dude.
Empty wallet.
I mean, look, on a very small scale compared to people like that, I used to turn down 99 things a day.
That's crazy, man.
99% of at least a few emails a day about a sponsorship because I didn't want to give. I didn't want to do some kind of fucking candy from overseas service. That didn't fit my channel.
Right.
You know, so all that shit was turned away. I helped launch apps back in the day and
yes.
all kinds of cool shit. And now this is brought to you by the Smokescreen Podcast, by the way. We're a sponsor of fucking sales.
Yes. That's right.
Because we can't. I mean, it's just crazy.
This is brought to you by our OnlyFans
pages. That's the other thing too, man. Look, man, I don't blame anybody for any of that shit, but I'm a little bit salty about it.
Because you got the wrong genitalia.
That's right. I can't do it. I would.
Right.
I can't blame anybody, but this is the age of OnlyFans and e-girls and e-dudes too, I guess, because dudes do OnlyFans too, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
It's crazy to me.
I can't imagine there's much of a market for like a 47-year-old dude.
Dad bods.
Oh my geez. Wow.
Stroke screen can still be a thing, man. You remember the stroke screen?
You know, I always go back to Twitch. I saw this one. It was like, I made $150,000 in the last 4 months on my OnlyFans page, but I tell my family that I'm an accountant.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know. And don't get me wrong, OnlyFans is not just porn. It's just known for it.
Right.
Because they allow it.
Yeah.
And it mostly is, I'm sure. But you can do other things on there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we're not dumb. I mean, people aren't going to give a ton of money.
No.
You know, you got to give a little.
No, we're not going to have an OnlyFans smokescreen podcast.
Right.
Page
yeah,
where
we go broke.
Where we put out, like, behind-the-scenes photos of us in the studio hanging out.
Right.
And the cat over here in the chair.
Yeah. You got to shake your moneymaker.
Unless we say it's the pussy in the chair.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Caption it or whatever. Maybe got some pussy over in his chair.
Oh shit! But dude, these girls are getting rich, man. You know,
yeah.
Hey, honestly, when we were the age of say the girls doing that, our age girls had to be a stripper, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
in person.
If they would have, yes.
In person.
In person. That's what I meant. That's how I meant to say it. These girls are really lucky.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't have to get, you know, rub up on some dude, you know, wearing freaking Old Spice. And, you know,
right. Exactly.
I mean, dude.
Old Spice. Exactly. Because, I mean, you know, in our day, we probably went to a few of those clubs. I mean,
right.
Hypothetically, we did.
I'd like to think I helped. I'm like Mr. Beast in that aspect. I helped put some people through college.
I think so too. I think so. But yeah, I mean, it's just
a philanthropist.
You know, we always kind of touch on this whole thing, like the good old days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying anything, but things do really change because a lot of people are like, "Nah, it's not any different." And some things I agree with that. Like, it's not really that much different. It's just we have social media now to share it, and I agree with that to an extent. But there are things that change.
Yeah.
This generation is way, way more sexualized than our generation, and we were way more sexualized than our parents' generation.
That's right. Yeah, no doubt.
And everything now is like TikTok.
I hate
Instagram modeling and that's what they grow up with.
And plus, like, you know, the internet's permanent.
Yep.
I am really glad that I didn't have to worry about, you know, turning my back on my friends back in the day for views. You know, your friends right now would sell you out if you're a little teenager. You do something crazy, your friends will sell you out and throw that shit right on the internet.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I can
World
think
Star,
of several.
World Star.
Yeah.
Get the phone in your face.
I can think of several times that had I grown up in this era and the same thing happened,
man,
it would be plastered all over the place.
Absolutely.
And you couldn't even go back to school. I'd quit school, you know?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt.
No way in hell I could face that. Because this shit spreads like wildfire now. And so as far as OnlyFans goes, I, you know.
You signed up, but you didn't.
I've just learned about it probably in the last month, and I've thought, you know, bless them. It's safe. It's a safe way. I don't like the idea that these people are really like the TikTok I saw. I made $150,000 in 4 months.
Yeah.
Because that might steer somebody who wouldn't normally do that, that might steer them to say, well, I don't need school.
But no, yeah, you know I agree. Mean? Yeah.
And the girls don't realize that those bodies go away or, right. you yep. know, you age out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That, and that's, I guess that's kind of the mentality though, is get it while it's can. Hot. Yeah. You know,
but then you got to have something to fall back on, right. which is kind of what we've been preaching. I say we just, society has been preaching to athletes for so long.
Yes. It's like, get the education.
Yeah, get that too.
Because there's always that argument about should they be paid? And it's like, wait a minute, the whole thing was they're getting an education for playing there.
Yes.
You know, that, we won't get into all that, but you know what I mean.
But yes. Yes.
But you get that degree because you go to the NFL the first year, break your break a leg or whatever, you're done.
Yeah, you can't take the house back from your mom.
No, you cannot.
Know, go, hey, I didn't think I was going to get hurt this fast.
Right.
I'm putting your house on the market.
Yeah, exactly. You take your house back from your mama, damn.
But, I mean, you'd be kind of stuck, you know?
Yeah, but
I don't...
Because
you get that big bonus, and you go blow it, and then you get hurt in the first game. That would suck.
Oh,
man.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we have a mutual friend, my buddy, who's... You know, one of my best friends in high school, you know,
yeah.
3 years into a professional career, 2 surgeries, he was done.
You couldn't have convinced me that he wouldn't have made a major
league. No, no way in hell. He was in AA when it's time. They changed his from overhand to 3/4 for whatever reason. I don't know why you would do that. You drafted the dude out of high school because he threw 106 miles per hour. You're going to change his throwing arm. Dave Stewart, by the way, Oakland A's.
Every other game he pitched was a one hitter, a no hitter, it was two hitter. It was always something in the paper.
Two dudes.
Yeah.
No, two
dudes. Both of them. Yeah. Luckily.
Same last name. Two different classes, back to back.
That is so weird. One was the Orioles and one was the A's.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. But, and then, Mo, he went to the Expos for, didn't he?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, and I think ended up being
that's three years in a row.
Yeah, it was actually. But no, it's, I don't know, man. It's just like, I even told Camden, like, not to start OnlyFans. Let me make sure I'm clear. she keeps asking me all the time, like, when you're streaming tonight, are you streaming? Because she gets on Twitch now and watches from home. I'm like, you should stream.
Right.
And I'm telling you right now, if you have any kind of halfway decent personality.
Yes.
And you enjoy, you know, or you're just chatting.
Yep.
Why not?
Why not?
I'm not, you know.
It's look around.
Mm-hmm.
Look around. You can literally sit in a chair like this. And
that's right. And you'll get free chairs like this.
Yeah.
By the way.
And just talk and, you know, shoot the shit, play a video game, talk about shows, do makeup. She could easily do makeup. Jeez.
There's a billion of those.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are successful. But it's just, I don't know, man. It's like, but it also goes into, I talked to you about someone I know who did some online stuff like streaming and ended up doing OnlyFans. Obviously we're not going to mention any names.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a mental health aspect to all this stuff, too.
Right.
We talked a little bit about that before with the anxiety stuff and how it's, like, I've never been an anxious person until I started doing all this shit. It's been weird. It's, like, made it worse. We mm-hmm. mentioned that. I'm not saying it has necessarily. We really quickly hit on talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember now. But I know a person who has mental issues, apparently, and she seems perfectly normal in social gatherings, but apparently she's not. And then she started this OnlyFans stuff. And now that's already gone away. Like, she couldn't deal with whatever.
Right.
The pressure or I don't know. I don't know. I've just seen it personally from somebody I know, and it didn't last.
You want to almost nudge them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, no, you had something there potentially, you know, why don't kind of like you do me.
I think that though with the like the OnlyFans thing, how long does that last before you have to up it?
Oh, dude, I can only imagine that you're encouraged to.
Oh yeah, because
day.
Like for example, this person, it was not porn
mm-hmm.
or nudity; it was, I guess, lewdity,
right?
At the most, But how long can you do that before you're pressured or whatever, or have to make that decision, or your shit falls off because it's just the same and you got to take it up a notch?
That's a good question.
Imagine how many
would drive, you know, get on, you know, because you go into it with all these intentions of, no, I'm never going to cross that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
you get so many asked or mm-hmm. questions about it or whatever it may be. Or you see the other competitors, I'm quote air quoting here, mm-hmm. people listen. You see your competitors doing the full thing and they're like skyrocketing, you know, cause you're trying to make that bank right before it burns up next month. You never know. Yeah, it could shut down.
That's right.
And then you're pushed into something or you walk away. I don't know. It's got to be a weird position.
That made me think of something. Are the creators of any of these platforms, even the ones we're on, are they slick to the game of making likes and views and all that public to keep the carrot dangling? So you look at your competitors and you can see and you can track them. To whereas if you didn't know how many views and subs and whatever that channel ABC had, it might not tear you up as much. You might be thinking, man, I'm doing great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm sure they do that intentionally to keep everybody like
trying hard
to come up with the next thing, the greatest, next greatest thing.
Yeah, that is true. I don't know.
Because it's nobody's business. There's no other businesses. Like Hardee's does not tell McDonald's how many customers came through the door every day.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's that dopamine thing too. Mm-hmm. But I've always thought for the YouTube thing, like if you had your subscriber count, I just always assumed you were a tiny channel. I mean, maybe that's true. I don't mm-hmm. know. I've always tried to be transparent about everything. I don't hide likes and delete comments.
But I don't think they should exist.
Oh, counts, you mean?
Publicly. I think as the creator should be able to see them.
Oh, yeah. But no, that's definitely a competition thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely. Numbers driven. Everything's everything.
And
yes.
So they create it like that. Like
absolutely.
The OnlyFans thing. Like where this girl, she might be happy doing what she's doing. But like you said, if she looks around and goes, well, holy shit, they're 10 times, 100 times bigger than me. What are they doing? Well, let me sub to them.
Right.
And then see what they're doing behind the scenes so I can keep up. Whereas maybe they would have been okay just staying in this.
Yeah, you got a comfortable, you know, whatever it is, a month or what. Yeah,
right.
I mean, absolutely. Now, I mean, you have that option. The creators do have that option to hide their subs on those sites, just like you do on YouTube or whatever. Mm. You can hide them, but... Do you hide them because you're small?
Like, think if you got on this platform and that part of it never existed. It was never public. That like it wasn't even a thing. Like you could see it on the back end because it's your own private little thing.
Right.
Think about how different your journey would be. How more successful you would feel about yourself if you didn't have to look around and go, what am I doing? We're all doing the same thing, but why are they fucking blowing the fuck up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're saying like you couldn't see view counts, you couldn't see obviously is an indicator.
Right.
So you couldn't see any of that shit.
Right. You could read comments, but you know, there wouldn't be like a tally mark for every comment.
Right.
Where you'd have to like literally go fishing to do research. You couldn't just go, oh, their video has this many thumbs up and this many comments because the numbers are right there. You would have to go watch that video and go, oh, that's pretty good.
Right.
Mine's just as good as that. But when you see that one has 1 million views and yours has 10,000, then you're going to be like, well, mine sucks compared to that one. What the fuck, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's what drives people crazy and gets anxiety involved.
That is very true. It is
you would
definitely
think you were doing great.
Because that's one of the things. When you start this shit, it's like, you know, don't focus on the numbers, do what you love, blah, blah, blah. But at some point, when you decide to make the business side of things a reality in the sense of, okay, I'm going to do this for money, not just a side hustle because I got a job and I'm just doing it for fun. Because everybody starts that way and says, I don't care. But they do.
Right.
You really do.
But see, you're supposed to focus on analytics.
Yes.
You're supposed to. But when everybody's, you know what I mean, shit's public, that just creates an odd environment.
Yeah, and that's definitely part of it, for sure. Because you could have,
you'd have to build a relationship with somebody to find out that they are getting a million views.
Because you could have, for example, you know, 78,920 subscribers.
Right?
That's awful. Specific number.
It is.
And feel like you're a failure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
well.
Right. When you start... Because in your mind, you're like, okay, I'm going to compare apples to apples.
Right.
I look at this video. I look at that video. Mine's just as good. But when those numbers are there, you look at theirs and you look at theirs and you're like, mine's a piece of shit.
Right.
That's what I don't like about it.
Yeah.
It drives you crazy. Now, you should be able to know how many views you got. Now, where you could see a difference, I think, publicly, is when... you click on theirs, you don't see the view count, but you click on theirs, and there's this big fat ad
that
pops up.
Unskippable.
Right.
Yes.
And then you're like, that must be a popular video.
Yeah, there's always going to be, that's the thing. That's the way the brain works, though, with this shit. If there's a way to tell. There's a way to tell, like, oh, okay, they're doing pretty good. And just like, even, like you said, even if there was comments, even if there wasn't a number listed, just by scrolling, you'd be like, damn, this motherfucker's got...
But you would have to
thousands of comments.
Right. You couldn't just peruse. Like I
it's
said.
It's like Byte. You remember Byte, right? We started playing with Byte over there.
Right.
Okay, they had their followers. Nobody can see followers.
Yeah.
But you get these points, and you look at your own little points based off how many, I think it was loops that you watched, and how many you got had plays, and how many you see your own followers, but you can't see anybody else. So it totals with these points. So then people start throwing their points on their little bio pages. And you can kind of guesstimate based off those points. Yeah, he's got about 1,000 followers.
Right.
But they purposely did that so it wouldn't feel like a competition, like it didn't matter here. We're not going to have blue check marks or something.
Because like it would, like literally the McDonald's thing. I know they used to put billion serve, I know that, but like what we're talking about is almost like you could drive down the boulevard and see a counter, like a virtual counter on the marquee that was like, this is how many cars have came in here and parked. This is how many people have came and ate here today.
Drive-throughs, drive-bys.
Yeah. And that's the world we're in.
Yes.
We're like, literally everything is public, and it's so weird to me.
Yes.
And
you get caught up in it, man.
You do. You do, man. And I just don't know. I feel like that was part of it. When this whole master plan was, you know, hatched, and then it started evolving because, you know, YouTube's not that old.
No.
I'm sure that at some point they strategically said, this is what will drive us.
Oh, yeah.
Letting people see the numbers, you know. How many views does that video have versus that one? And I don't know. It's smart. It is smart.
Oh, yeah.
But it inherently is going to, there's a cutoff. I bet you could see a cutoff where these people above this line are super happy, and the people below this in this little middle area here are literally losing hair, losing years on their life.
I know, getting gray chins and shit.
The people down here either don't care or they've already committed suicide. Right. You know,
damn.
Hey, you see what I'm saying? No, I can't.
Oh, shit. Yes. No.
I mean. It's crazy. And so that's what I thought of when you said the thought of an OnlyFans girl feeling like pressured. Because like if I told you, okay, you will get your play button, you will get, you know, million view videos if you wore a tank top in every video.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what these girls are facing.
Oh, yeah. And, no doubt. And some embrace it and some don't.
Right. How could my mom told me never wear tank tops in public? That'd be so hard. Now imagine being 18, 19 years old. Because
you can't compete with, you can't become, like if you got this dream to be a YouTuber or whatever, TikToker, you can't compete if you're not doing the fucking dances half naked.
Right.
It's crazy.
All right.
I mean, some, yeah, you can in different categories. Like, I'm not saying obviously there's exceptions to the rule. We're talking about in general, obviously, here. This culture of sexualized content, you know what I mean?
Or, like you said with the Mr. Beast, like you said, did he initially scrape up $1,000?
Yeah. I mean, at some point, seen that threshold, but there was a point when he said, this ain't working,
mm-hmm.
and I've got to do something different, and that's what I've got to do in my personal journey, whatever the fuck that is. But at some point, he was like, okay, what it's going to take is I got to invest money in this. I need to, you know, save $1,000 or a couple thousand at my job. And the next video, I'm gonna blow it all. I'm gonna give it to somebody, and yeah. I'm gonna film that shit.
Right.
I'm not saying he was the first one to do that necessarily. I'm just saying for his particular example. Yeah. And then I don't know how many of those it took, but that one probably was bigger than any other Minecraft video he ever had.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh.
Because think of the audience scope.
That's right.
Way bigger.
Way bigger. You got out of the little gaming mm-hmm. niche where people like that particular game or whatever age group, and then you expand into anybody can see that because it's a heartwarming story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's a story. You're telling a story. And because I saw a video, you know, when I was, you know, the past few months, I've been going insane about all this shit, trying to figure out YouTube and my new direction. And I watched a random video in my feed. It was like why Mr. Beast was the best YouTuber or whatever, or something like that, or the most genius or something mm-hmm. was in the title. And that's basically what he was saying is he's telling a perfect story or telling a video or what, you know, he's telling this story that you cannot click away from. And then when I talked to Tim Smoyer from Video Creators, I told you I did that whole thing and talked to him for like yep. an hour and a half consultation. It was the same thing. He didn't give a shit about, he never gave a shit about video quality or sets or how you look or your demographics. It was all about knowing your target audience. You got to know who you're reaching out to so you can make your content for them. And on top of that, how do you tell a story? And that's what's missing.
Right.
But it's hard to hear that when you've seen so much success just having a niche.
Yes.
That's what you learn to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get to a niche and you niche down until you hit this target. And now I know my audience. I'm making video. I know the audience I'm making videos for. And it worked for a while. But, you know, it's the definition of insanity. You can't, if it stopped working for whatever reason, it doesn't matter if it was my fault or YouTube's fault or a combination of both, something has to change.
Or the show going away.
Yeah, that whole thing. Even though we had kind of thought we prepared for it, mm-hmm. we talked about,
if you're like one of the best donut makers in the world and the population stops eating donuts, what the hell do you do?
Right.
You can't just go, well, try this bagel.
Mm-mm.
You know?
That's right. I mean,
you kind of have to almost go back to square one.
It is exactly it. And I mean, I'm literally there as far as the channel as a whole, the money from the channel, all that stuff. It's literally back to 2015. It was like reset, like the easy button.
Yeah.
was hit.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I kind of wish we could go back to 2015. I mean, 2020 is pretty horrible.
Oh, God almighty, you know? Yeah. Lord. I mean, I would not be surprised if somebody solves the fucking lament configuration and fucking Pinhead shows up. I mean, what's next?
Right.
I'm over Corona. Sorry, I'm over it.
Yeah, I'm so over it. It's if there's a singular thing that's driving me crazy, that's probably it. Right.
Yeah, because I mean, it's starting to become not just it's going way beyond just safety and pandemic stuff. It's getting way too political.
Yeah,
all that good shit, and
I'll tell you this, man, just
mandates and all that kind of shit. People are calling for fuck all that.
Right.
I'm just saying.
The thing that depresses me is like, you know, and again. Don't beat me up on it. I mean, this is just me personally. First off, I'm in a business where I work for tips. And I am not a drone robot delivering something to your door. Right. I've always prided myself on my smile, my interaction. And now, you know, nobody can see my face.
It's not personable anymore.
I'm always, if I'm walking by somebody in a store or in a parking lot or just anywhere, I'm a smiler. I'm a greeter. You know what I mean? And for me to be told that this is my new norm.
James radiates love.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. I don't want to be told that my new norm is going to be you don't interact with people in public.
No,
I want you to stay 6 feet away from me, and I don't want to see your face.
Right.
You know, I don't care if you're smiling, you know, like, I don't know, man. You kind of feed off of people's energy, and the energy out there right now isn't good.
No, it's not even the same. You can't have a conversation with somebody in a mask.
No.
Not the same.
No.
There, you can't see the inflections and the little smirks and smiles or whatever the hell it is.
That's right.
Fuck all that, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We don't shut down.
It is depressing. And
it is.
People don't care about people being depressed, too. I mean, they're so terrified about somebody getting sniffles, but the mental health that's going along with it
because of losing money and jobs and staying at home, being shut up and all that kind of stuff.
It's tough, dude. So, I mean, you know, like I said, don't beat me up for saying it, but I hate these masks, man. I do wear them.
Disclaimer.
Yeah, Lord.
We might get canceled.
But there's going to come a day when I'm going to throw hands over these masks.
Well, we had a...
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, they need to give me a date. If I had a date to work with, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
But don't tell me this is my new norm or my new norm. I'm going to show you a new norm.
Might be November 4th. Might be over.
Maybe.
We'll see. Depends on what happens on the third.
Well, I'll go ahead and throw this out there. I got a question for you.
Oh, okay. Q&A time.
What do you think about this?
What, selling my bathwater?
Do you
think? I'm already bottling that shit. What do you mean?
You take showers.
that's damn it.
All your money's going down the fucking drain.
You didn't have to say that in the.
Oh, that's right.
In public.
Damn it.
I just fill it up, man. Come on. Never mind.
Right. Well, a horrible business partner.
I know, Jesus, man. I was going to make millions.
Damn it.
I mean.
Oh, my God.
I was going to make tens of dollars.
Tens of dollars.
Man, come on, man. Shit. Well, shit. New plan.
Yes, new plan. Sweat towels like Elvis used to give away. People fight over them.
Yes.
That must be nice.
Hey, man, look, I can make tens of dollars if I'm on famousbirthdays.com.
I agree. I think you should be doing those.
Cameos?
Cameos.
Oh, shit.
That's exactly right.
All right, please.
Do cameos.
Maybe if my book blows up, I'll make tens of dollars and do cameos. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt
your question. Actually, your book is kind of what was making me think about it. Do you ever, this is complicated because I don't know that it's a complete thought, but I think there's something here. Do you ever think about men, like, you know, like a single dad, like us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dealing with like empty nest syndrome.
Yes.
And like not having an outlet for pouring into.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know,
I don't know if you're even done yet, but yes.
No, that's where I.
Man, I'm telling you right now.
Like giving advice and.
Absolutely.
You know, thinking of things to.
One of the best times for me was. Because we talked a little bit about this before, and I don't know if it was a podcast or one of our conversations. We're not really needed anymore.
Yes.
I mean, you're needed in the sense of dad's always there to give advice if we need to come over or call you or whatever. But the best times for me in my life, man, were being a softball dad.
Right.
And a basketball dad or whatever at the time.
Yeah.
And when that was, since Camden's graduated, it ain't been the same. And what makes me sad about it is I didn't miss anything. I'm not saying like I missed stuff or whatever. I'm just saying that at that time I'd started YouTube and I was so hyper focused on, you know, trying to make it work to make a living.
Yeah.
Did I feel like I wasn't all there and like near the end of some of that? You know what I mean?
But you were thinking, if I can just bridge this gap, I can spend.
That's exactly. Yeah, exactly. It'll
be a payoff.
Yeah. It was no like, yeah, like it. Damn, Riddick.
You weren't. Yeah. You weren't just, you know, doing it for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was exactly the thought. But no, that was, yeah, that changed, man, that changed a lot. And it's definitely affected me mentally.
Yeah.
Mental health wise, as far as just overall, because it's just, there's no more of that. Like, you know, let's go to the cage. Let's go to the mount. Let's go pitch.
Right.
I haven't caught a softball in, God, a year, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing, man. I mean.
But listen, also, I think we're the first dads, the first generation of dads whose kids grew up with the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So prior to us.
Yeah, those were some battles.
Yeah. Prior to us, when those dads, their kids grew up and kind of started branching out on their own, they probably got like more calls about things like,
hey, oh yeah, this, yeah, that. Yeah.
Well, now they're so used to looking stuff up on the internet.
Right.
Dad,
hey, how,
like,
do I boil an egg?
Thank you. How do I make,
and it's
this
just YouTube now.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like the dads before us, they got a little bit more years out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Where ours, oh, we're out of the house.
Or, you know,
don't really need you that much anymore, you know?
Yeah. And or even college years extend that to a degree. Even if they move away and go to school, they're coming home in the summers and all, mm-hmm, that stuff. And she was going to go to school, wanted to play ball. She chose not to do all that stuff. But yeah, man, that's been a big thing for me, man. And that's the thing. I feel old now. I told Camden the other day, because she comes by here every day,
mm-hmm,
and she may only stay for 5 minutes or sometimes a couple hours, but I feel like the old man that she's visiting because she feels sorry for him, and she's worried, yeah, about her old dad sitting here by himself, and that's what she's thinking.
Right.
And it makes me feel, right, like I'm glad she's coming by.
Of course,
but
yeah.
But
yeah,
the thought process behind, yeah, it is like, well, she thinks she's like, I'm the old,
it's
man now.
It's a double-edged sword.
It is. She's visiting her old man because she's worried about him sitting here lonely.
Yes.
Because she will always, like, dude, literally before you got here, is James here, there yet?
Right.
Texting me. Because she's sitting here in her house with her roommates thinking, is dad sitting there alone?
That's cool. That's really cool.
So that's cool, but it's also like.
Right.
It's,
I get
true.
It. No, I get
you
it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's an everyday thing. Yeah, she's like.
You don't want to say, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
Because,
exactly.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's like, it's just a weird thing, man, because I feel like I still had a lot of dadding to do.
And yes.
It ended, like, fell off a cliff, kind of.
It's abrupt. It really is. It's yeah, crazy.
And I just believe that that's why I've, you know, annoyed my kids when I tell you those funny stories, yeah, about
driving, hey, with Landon.
Yeah, because I think about all these things because I'm not through raising you. You think I'm through.
Right.
But I'm not through yet. There's a lot of things. I don't want you to have the same. I want you to miss the obstacles that are going to be in your way.
You want them to hit some obstacles,
of
but
course.
You don't want to go through the stupid ones.
The
they don't have to.
Stupid ones, yeah.
Because you've, you been, know, there, I've, we've been there,
yeah,
whatever.
And,
they
and
never understand that until they get older.
No. And if they see, because as just like these podcasts, right, we'll start a conversation on one thing and it branches into other things. Well, if the conversation is never initiated with dad,
right,
you know, that's not going to branch out. They might call about boiling an egg, and it could turn into something they really need to hear,
right,
in life. But because now the internet's the way you find out things.
Yeah,
like
they
that.
Pull up YouTube and watch how to boil an egg in a minute and a half, and you don't have to hear.
How do you spray paint something?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm gonna ask the internet. You know, I mean, it's just weird shit. Like, how do you hang a picture? I know that we are getting gypped. We're that first generation.
Yeah, we are. That is true.
They've grown up the whole time with it, and it's only going to get worse from here.
Oh yeah,
you know, because they're going to have kids, right? Now they came up their whole life with the internet, and then their kids are going to come up with what VR and all. I mean, you know, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And pretty soon, you're going to be putting VR goggles on babies in cribs.
I know. You know? I don't know, keep them asleep longer
whatever,
or some shit.
Yeah.
You know? It'll start with something like that,
and
it'll expand.
There's going to be a disconnect in the parent-child dynamic there.
Well, it's almost like the old days of... It kind of started with, here, sit down, plug this tape in.
Absolutely.
That's the first version.
You used to brag about that.
My
2-year-old knows how to run a VCR.
That's right. That was like the beta.
Yeah.
And now we're in like version 2, V2.
Damn, that's a good way to put it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Barney's raising your kid over there for, you know, at least an
Blue's
hour.
Clues.
Blue's Clues, man. Hey, we solved all that shit. To make
we just got a letter.
But that's the thing, man. Just last night, as a matter of fact, it's funny that you asked that. Just last night, I was watching Penn and Teller. That's the only thing I watch on YouTube TV. I need to just cancel the shit. But I hadn't even watched that in months. You know, I watched Shark Tank. That me and you watched Shark Tank, and that's it. And then Penn and Teller when it rarely comes on. But a new one was out. I happened to look.
Cool.
Because there wasn't we had just watched that movie, and there was nothing else to. It was either go to bed early or watch Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
So I pulled that up, made me think of magic. Well, I pulled up my old vlog magic video, and I was like, that was pretty fucking still, that would look pretty good.
Had the black mat?
Yeah,
Landon
where I did, the vanish and then the four corners and then the vanish on top of a little surprise routine. Remember, I did that when Landon got me back and interested again.
Yeah, Landon,
at the house.
He was so into that.
Yeah, cardiology and all that stuff. But anyway, so I watched that, and then that led me to watch a day in the life vlog where me and Camden rode around, went to practice and did all this stuff. I mean, it was just, to me, it was, at the time I was thinking, this is boring, but it got the most comments and views out of all those vlogs because it was just me and her in the car. You know how we are.
Yeah.
And it made me think about all that shit. And we'll go to this day, we'll hop in the car to go like visit my mom at the beach or whatever, and she wants to play Hannah Montana.
Right.
And we'll go down fucking cruising to South Carolina, blasting, and both know the lyrics to Hannah Montana.
Dude, do you remember?
And I treasure those little moments, but it makes me think about all that stuff. And so a part of you's sad, a part of you's proud, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Remember
it's
Christmas Vacation when Clark gets stuck in the attic? And he finds those old videos?
Yes.
And he's watching them? This is the 2020 version of that.
Exactly.
You stumbled upon those.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in that video, as a matter of fact, I had dropped her off at practice, so I was going to get some food. And this was like the team I was not, I helped out with, but I wasn't officially a coach. So I was, so I dropped her off at practice and I went to get some food to come back to the field. And I was talking about her at the time, you know, because she was on a showcase team. She was getting some letters and all that stuff. And I was like talking about that. And I put up some videos that I'd taken of her pitching.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, you know, it made me think of that shit. Those days of softball practice and games and all the car rides where I'm yelling at her and she's yelling back and all that stuff, you know, and the good things too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But she it's funny. She will tag me now. You know, I don't use Facebook, but to clear notifications, but she'll tag me in softball posts where it was one, I'll get it wrong, but it was like, some of y'all didn't ride home with your dad after a softball game, and it shows. And it was like, man, she appreciates that shit now.
Yes, dude.
You know, yeah. Or you never got, yeah, I can't remember. There's some other ones like that with, like, dad jokes or, you know what I mean? And they appreciate it, man. It shows you that somebody made that meme.
That's right.
And put it out there, and she shared it.
Yeah.
And tagged me in it. That one was y'all can't hurt my feelings. I rode home with my dad after softball games.
That's perfect.
That's what it was. I mixed up too. There was another one very similar. But yes, that was the last one. I was like, see? She's thinking about that shit too. So it makes you feel good in that sense, but it makes you feel old. You know, like, you know.
It does.
You know what I mean? I don't
know. But so where do us dads, since we've kind of came up with this new thing that's going on, what do we do? What do we do with all this life experience that we don't, we're not at, do we write books? I mean, that's what we're doing. I mean, you got to pour it somewhere.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny how we're both kind of, you know what I'm saying? That, I mean, maybe other dads, you know, build, you know, a shed or something. I don't know, but
right.
Do you got to do something with all this stuff? But I think, well, you know.
Well, like you mean like the knowledge and experience. And
every, yeah,
and,
I mean, yeah, yeah. That you're not being used for, and it's all here. Like, it's almost like a prison sentence a little bit to me.
Yeah,
I don't want to sound so depressed, but it's like you sit alone wishing somebody would visit, you know what I mean? No.
And then you feel like an old man when they do.
And it has to be almost, exactly. You know, arranged and cleared with everybody.
Arranged and cleared.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know, man. So, you know, in prison, you got these guys, they read books and learn how to make tattoo guns out of ink pens and shit. What are we going to do, man?
Yeah, I know, man. Well, that's what goes into writing.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, like, I could go coach again, you know, that type of stuff.
True.
Those type of outlets, yeah. I mean, you know.
And maybe that is why a lot of dudes like scout leaders. And,
right.
Yeah, shit like that.
I think so. Or, you know, I think it's, you know, pouring it into, pouring things, your time. You know, that's why, look, let me tell you, for the ladies out there. Quick pointer. Men need a hobby. This is the reason.
Yeah.
They have to pour all that into something. And they need something. Doesn't mean it doesn't love you. Loves you. I mean, it ain't got nothing to do with that. It's you got to have an outlet and put your soul into something again.
Yeah.
Because that's what's missing.
Yeah.
Because my focus for 18 years, essentially, I mean, you know, not saying exactly till the day she was 18, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
That was my sole purpose in life. And people don't understand that unless you have kids, you understand. That's what we were talking about the other day. Even older people, they don't know if they never had kids, period.
Right.
You can't.
Yeah. Like,
don't matter how many you've been around, don't matter how many nieces you got and nephews, it's not the same.
Right. It's not like we're going to go, oh, the kids are gone. I think I'll take up surfing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What the hell?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's cool too.
I mean, damn right it's cool,
but
gosh, you know, raising kids would beat the hell out of you.
Yeah.
I'm not the dude I was before my kids were born.
That's right. This year,
of course,
right
I
here,
wouldn't get in the ocean anyway. I was just trying to
this
think.
This soap I can't get out
yeah, damn
right here
right.
is not from
that's
you know, just chilling. And everything's cool all the time.
Right. And so, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to. What are we going to do, pitch horseshoes till we die?
I know.
I mean, what the hell?
Play cornhole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what you do. You go fishing.
Yep.
You buy a boat. You sell the boat. You know, the old saying about the boat. I'm missing my boat, I swear to God.
Yeah. We need a stabbing cabin.
But that's what...
Sorry.
Yes.
I might not be able to surf. But
that's right. But
still remember that.
But yes, I mean, I think
I might need floaties.
Patty Ferguson, I swear to God.
She'll squirt back at you. Holy shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God dang.
Oh, Jesus. Yes. But, no, but I think, I really do. I think that's, you know, there's the old midlife crisis, right?
Yeah, and I'm not too proud to say I don't question whether I'm dealing with one right
now. No, I agree. You know I agree, I mean? Because it's like, you know, and that manifests differently, right? So mm-hmm. some people, it's the cars. And part of that is, you know, all your resources were for your kids, and so you couldn't do shit like that. And so right. some of it's that, you know, when they're off, like you said, out of the nest, and they're working, and you can do things again like that. Sure. But a lot of it is like, it's that thing where that was my goal. Technically, that's really your only goal in life, right? Is mm-hmm. to reproduce.
Yeah.
And get them ready for the world. And
that's right.
It's done. It's not always, you know, like I said, it's not completely ever done, but for the most part, for the practical purposes. And then you have to refocus somewhere.
Yeah.
And so that's why men have hobbies, multiple hobbies. And a lot of men like me, because I'm like my dad in this sense, if I want to do something, goddamn, I go all out. Like I have to have every little thing that you're supposed to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So people do that, and I'm sure it causes a lot of arguments money wise and stuff in marriages and all that shit. But there's a reason behind it. It's not just like I'm blowing money type of thing.
Right.
There's a psychological reason. They're refocusing that energy somewhere into something.
Yes.
Because you feel lost.
And you're kind of still speaking to the women a little bit, right?
Well, just saying. Sure. Because, I mean, you know,
honestly, if in that case, I do believe, like, if you, you know, kind of stifle that in a dude,
mm-hmm.
then those are the dudes that you might not be able to trust when he goes to work.
Yeah, yes.
Do you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, because the guys that you let have a hobby.
Right.
Their mind looks forward to that hobby. Their mind's not thinking about, you know, what perfume Charlene's wearing.
Yes.
You know, they're at work thinking about, God dang, I can't wait to get back. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. When you get into something,
right.
When you get into something, you it's, that's your focus.
And this works both ways. I was just playing off of what he was saying, but it works both ways. And if a female comes into a relationship and she used to like to paint, and all of a sudden, you know, you beat the painter out of her, it's going to resurface.
Yes.
There's going to be a day she resents you for taking the painting away from her. And she's going to think of all the painting she didn't do.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yep. Absolutely. It's like I saw, it was funny, you mentioned TikTok earlier. I was watching that little bit last night. I was telling you about, I saw something. It was a lady, I guess it's her account, and it showed her like fixing food and then carrying a plate into her husband's room where he was playing a game with the boys, I guess. I don't know if he was a streamer or just playing like Call of Duty or something. Mm-hmm. And it was saying, you know, how he works his ass off for our family and this and that. And all he asks for is a couple hours with his friends playing this game to relax, wind down or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't mind taking him his plate in here type of thing. And it's what she was saying. I support my man because he supports us.
Right.
And she was just making a point, and I think people would look down on that.
Yeah, I think
because you're supposed to have these role reversals. It's not, you know, it's social constructs and all this other crap.
Right.
And she was just making the point, and I appreciated the hell out of it. Not that I'd want anybody to serve me a plate at the fucking video game table. That's not the point.
Right.
The point was that
you didn't look at it as, you know, male female roles. You thought, man, that's a cool couple.
Exactly. It wasn't about like her making the food,
right?
No, it was about like she appreciating each other, and then, you know, what he's doing for the family. And she's not in there nagging him, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because Because I think a lot of people would say, you know, that. But
right. He's, that works both ways.
Works both ways.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure we're just like, we're seeing a 60-second clip of their life. So we don't know what,
right.
He's probably in there massaging her feet and shit at night, you know.
If he's so worth his salt.
It was just that type of thing. And the weird part of it is I'm sure, I didn't read through a lot of them, but I'm sure there's a lot of shitty comments.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Why are you taking that man a plate of food when he needs to be in there with you? Yeah. Matter of fact, he should have cooked it.
That's right. Yep.
Well, she just said he worked construction all day.
Right.
And that's his 2 hours of unwinding with his friends. And she didn't say every night, you know?
Yep.
And she appreciates
like
it enough.
60-second clip. He may cook on Wednesdays.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's what they don't see.
That's right. So but it's a cool relationship. You're right.
Yeah.
It's recognizing the other person, their interest,
the sacrifice
outside of the marriage.
Yes.
You need to almost pour into it a little bit and encourage it.
Right.
And especially if you marry somebody like me. Because it's like,
expect tie-dye in the arms.
It's like, if you don't pour into me, I forget how to do everything.
Oh, Lord.
I can't even brush my teeth. She did not tell me that I look nice today.
Oh, look, here, I just want to say this.
I have problems.
I'm glad that we can talk about these things and make fun of ourselves.
I am too.
like when you have the Chris voice and I got the James voice. But that's, I mean, you know.
It promotes growth, man.
Yeah, we all have flaws. I'm not saying that's a flaw. I'm just saying that's just a thing for you.
Yeah.
And it's different. You know,
and, you know, I have like this, I've turned journaling about bad life experiences into something.
I think this is awesome.
That I'm getting, you know, some praise for, and I feel like I have a purpose, and you always, you know, are encouraging me, like, finish.
Just fucking, hey, like you said last night, man, I put this together, and I'm only at, what was it? I can't remember, the 24,000 words something.
I'm at
28. And I get the feeling, because, you know, I told you that when I had the first thing done, I'm like, I wrote the last fucking paragraph, I'm so excited, and then I'm looking at the word count. And then I put them all together, added them up before I had them in one document. I was like, damn.
Right.
I only got 42 or 39,000 at the time words or whatever. I'm like, fuck. I need like, you know, 70,000 words. But, dude, you got 24,000 words.
That is a lot.
That's a lot of writing, and it's fucking awesome. I love your fucking, I love the title. I think it's funny as shit. It has a story itself. That needs to be a chapter too, by the way.
But the thing is, like,
memoir is what we're saying.
Yeah.
You're writing a memoir, damn it.
But it makes me wonder, right? Like, because you know how I am, man. If if my personal life seems shaky, then I get writer's block. And then I'm sitting here at home alone, beating myself up about it, going like, Michelangelo couldn't be like that.
I bet he was.
The Sistine Chapel would just be like, you know, one figure.
Yeah. Right.
Either he's not like me and doesn't need to be poured in, didn't need to be poured into, or he had somebody pour it into him like a mug.
Yeah, well, of
you
course
know what
he.
I'm saying?
Of course, that was a job to him. He was paid, so that's a little different. But yeah, no, like,
I couldn't paint a.
But
Monopoly hotel roof.
Monopoly.
I couldn't do that if I was depressed.
I'm picturing you with the big fucking thing, with the big ass eye. No, but my thing is with the thing, I hadn't even had writer's block. I've had motivation block.
That's
you know
what
how
I'm getting at. Yeah.
You know how excited I've been about the book. I really am, but at the same time, I've been going through these, you know, nights of, I need to work on the book. I need to make videos. What am I going to make a video about? Mm-hmm. I need to do this. Oh, I got to stream tonight on Twitch and whatever. And I enjoy all those things.
Right.
But I got so much shit to do, I don't do anything. And it's a wasted day, and I just go take a fucking nap. You know,
dude,
not all the time. I'm just saying you go through these little periods.
It honestly, I'm sorry, but it makes me feel good to hear you say that.
Boy, I'm worthless on some days.
Yeah, some days that you just get defeated and do nothing. Because yeah, that's kind of like that's one of my problems. You'll have so many things you want. You genuinely like, want to do them. It's not like you're trying to put them off. You genuinely want to do them.
Yes, you do. But I'm telling you, it's like Baskin Robbins. You can't pick a flavor because there's too many choices.
Yes,
that's the problem. So I just accept it. So yeah, I don't look at it as a bad thing all the time. I accept it that you just need those days.
Yeah,
you got to go through the darkness a little bit and just take a nap, and then I'll be more productive the next day.
Right,
is the way I always try to look at it. Don't always work, but I try to think of it that way.
The only problem is like you can't unswallow 50 aspirin. You can't unhang yourself.
Well, you can stick your finger down your throat. You can't. In the first case, I guess.
Once you put a butter knife in an outlet, you can't pull it out.
Jesus. Let's try not to get... We can't laugh at that.
I take baths holding toasters.
Oh, shit. Just in case.
Oh, that's how I get my workout. I'm like, eeny, meeny, miny.
You got your easy makeup and beside the tub.
And I have a daisy in there, and I'm like, she loves me.
I can actually.
She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Oh, shit. Thank God I haven't hit that bad one yet.
Oh, Lord. I could actually picture you with a daisy, though. Dude, we can't laugh at that. This will be demonetized. It's going to be laughing at our own jokes.
You cut that out.
No, I'm not cutting shit out. Fuck them. I just ain't doing it no more.
But no, I do. I'm my own worst enemy sometimes. And it does feel good. It feels good to come over here and throw that on you. And that's kind of what I was getting into in that Doc podcast. Or was that the Doc podcast where I was like, sometimes I need Chris to be Chris and not.
Yeah. No. You know, well, that's the good thing about, real friends. Real friends will call you out on your shit. And you need that sometimes.
You do.
I need it. You need it. Everybody needs that. Yeah. And I've told that to other close friends that, you know, I'm never going to lie to you. I'll always be the guy to, you know, if it gets to that point, I'll call you out on your shit. And I would expect you to do that for me.
Would I lie to you?
So, I mean.
But
because we've had some, I mean, not arguments. We've had some heated discussions about shit like that one night, you know, and then it made me feel better about it. We were talking about the books, actually. You were saying,
made
you know.
Made me feel better about it, too. Yeah.
You were like, I'll just get to this point where I just won't finish. I'm like, no, you know that because you have this knowledge. You just finished the damn book. You just write more.
Right.
And
I'm like, no.
No.
You don't know me.
You don't know me.
I will not finish it.
Yep.
Yep.
And then, a week later, a couple of days, I don't remember.
Yeah.
That was at the old house. It was like, I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
So those are the moments that, you know, that kind of manifest some matters.
Yeah. I am here's the really fucking odd slippery slope. I need somebody, anybody in my daily life.
I need less cords back here
to make me feel like I'm necessary, appreciated. Now, this could be a coworker. This could be, because I think I told you I went off at work the other day. I accused them all of being ageist. You know, I was like, you know, screw y'all, man. I used to be y'all.
Yeah, yeah. We brought up a guy that used to work there when we were younger.
Yeah, and I talked to him.
Yeah.
And I joked with him.
Yes.
And these people kind of feel like, you know, I feel like they're too cool, you know, to hang out with me or to just associate. I mean, not associate. Too cool to interact with me.
Right.
Because they're, you know, talking about all their, what are they? Millennial?
No.
Are they millennials?
They
like
would
a
be
21-year-old?
What, Gen Z? I don't know anymore. I've never understood the thing because we're Generation X.
Yes.
And I thought that Y was after us, and then there's millennial, right? Is that right?
Something millennials. Like
I don't know. And then there's Z now.
Right.
I'm confused on the fucking generation.
I am too. But
there's too much crossover.
There is, man. And it's like,
can't we just keep it simple and not do years? I'm X. My daughter should be Y, right? Yeah. I mean, and her kid should be Z.
Right, but see.
And then we start over at pound one.
Yeah, but then there's the, but now I don't even know my alphabet.
Yeah. A, B,
it's not
C,
like V was before us, was it? It was like,
no.
Those were the boomers.
Those were the baby boomers, yep. Right. Exactly. So, that was really the first time they named a generation, I think, right?
Well, they had to.
Yeah.
Some bitches were breeding like rabbits.
Exactly. I mean, the war.
But, yeah, so if those kids or anybody that worked with me just knew, you know, hey,
yeah,
just say how you doing, man, or just say, and it's just a weird, like I said, I'm not too ashamed to say I might be in some kind of little weird midlife crisis or something, you know, because they might not have meant jack shit about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I could have blown it, I could have, like, made that bigger than it was just because of this weird state I'm in.
Right.
But us talking about it, like, you know, having somebody to go, hey, man, I think I might be dealing with a midlife crisis or whatever, and then, you know, you talk me off the fucking ledge and vice versa, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. And, it's, you know, it's like, even back in the, we were talking about the old days with Doc last week.
Yeah.
Those Sunday nights were therapy for us just right. As much as people love just hanging out, talking God or whatever it was. There were therapy sessions for us. Cause we were still going through the same shit. You know,
are we the last generation that would talk each other off the ledge? Are the new guys going to be like, hey, man, there's nothing wrong with you being suicidal?
I would,
you know,
God, I would.
Suicidals, you know, hey, I'm not going to say anything tough to you to, you know, shake you up.
I would cut
that word out or that sentence out, but. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, like it's
like because they're so afraid of saying anything bad about anybody at any time.
Exactly.
That they won't say, "Hey, man," you know,
like you're worried
get
about
a fucking grip.
You're worried exactly. You're worried about offending somebody in that state of mind.
Yeah, and like when I was depressed, you were like, "No, fuck it, fuck that." You built in. Little excuse, your little mechanism there, or you don't finish shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hope that, and that's kind of shit we could give to our kids if they,
right.
You know,
yes.
Would reach out, you know, that kind of goes all back together, I guess. I think about things, and sometimes maybe part of a midlife crisis is you think too much.
It is. It's definitely overthinking it. But there's also, I think there's something to be said as far as like depression and, you know, midlife crisis, midlife crisis don't necessarily have to be a horrible, bad thing.
I can agree with
but
that.
But, like,
yeah.
Depression it's and stuff, I also phase. Think it's necessary to, like, hello, darkness, my old friend. I think sometimes you need to go through some level.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, chronically horrible stuff. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
You need to go through that and just work your way through it in some cases. Some cases, it's not, I mean, and working your way through it could be just dealing with it yourself or like talking to people, whatever. But there's too much, it goes back to the whole thing in this generation. There's too much, sheltering people.
If you go through life and every girl says yes, going to the prom,
absolutely.
Every boss says yes, you're getting a promotion. You know,
yes, there's no, you
there's
have
no growth.
There's no growth.
Can be a good phase for me.
Yes. And, yeah. It's like I was telling you, my buddy, you know, who played poker with us once or twice. He grew up rich. Now, you never know it, you never knew it. Like, he still literally drives an old cop car. When I first met him, it was just a Toyota pickup truck. But he worked. We worked together in IT in Charlotte.
Right.
Before Microsoft days. All his friends, all them, they grew up rich. And half of them are dead. Literally, over half his friends he grew up with are all dead from the S word.
Yeah.
Because they never had problems, never had perspective. And
right. you don't build those kind of coping mechanisms if you don't ever deal with
issues. So they blow all their money and it's gone, and they just, well, fuck it, check out.
Yeah, man. And that's not the legacy I want to leave.
No,
I want to leave. I don't want to leave. I don't want my kids to go, well, you know, fuck it. I ain't gonna say that.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
I
want to leave a good legacy. I want my kids to go, remember when dad went through that rut?
Yeah.
You know, and man, look at him now. I hope that happens. And if it doesn't, that's fine. But just the fact that I kind of have that little thought is enough to motivate me and drive me a little bit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely weird. It's a weird cyclical thing. I don't know.
And listen, like you told me, and you know, you should listen to your own advice. I mean, with your book, you're kind of at this point, man. You're at this point where you're kind of about to put a bow on it.
Yeah, I'm at the point now where, like, I've learned a lot in the last 2 years doing this, and I can tell you right now is where I'm seeing like the end of the actual writing process now. I mean, the first draft's done, second draft's done, or I'm working technically on the third, I guess is what it is. But now it's all the other stuff. And that's more like writing is not stressful compared to all this shit, thinking about what's coming. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, but it's just a lot.
Yeah.
It's easy just to sit there and write when you start getting into all this shit. You know what I'm saying? As far as covers and editing and design and marketing and publishing and all the stuff, beta readers and critique partners and, you know, all the stuff is so, I'm excited about it, but it's nerve wracking at the same time because I have a shit ton to do. It's just a lot to do. It's a lot to do.
It is, man.
Because when you're writing, you're just writing. You know, there's no money. You're just writing, and you keep writing until you get to the end, and then there's more writing, and fixing, and editing, and I'm still doing that. But now I'm starting to obviously talk to people about covers and figuring out exactly my game plan. So I look forward to it. I can't wait. It'll all be worth it, though. When I order that book and I get my, you know, get a 10, 15, 50, whatever copies for me to give to family and friends.
That's
and readers and stuff like that, and I do that. I look forward to that video where I open that up and go, shh,
right,
you know, and pull that sumbitch out. And go, you know, it might be a shitty book, but goddamn, it'll be mine.
But I like the title, Dianetics. That's a good title.
How did you know? I ain't told nobody yet.
Damn it! Sorry.
Dianetics, the Crimson God series, book one. Yes, but no, exactly.
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait either. Jesus. I can't wait till you start getting feedback on it, man.
I know. I've gotten a lot of good feedback.
Because you can't like just share it with everybody. Some people have to buy it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I can't wait till somebody spends their money and says, this was worth my money.
Yeah, I look for, you know, and there's going to be some bad reviews, I'm sure.
Oh, shit, yeah. Hell yeah.
But I mean, and I'll appreciate every one of them.
That's right.
Because I can tell you right now, and you probably just in 24,000 words, I'm a hell of a lot better writer on chapter 20 than I was on chapter 1 or the prologue.
Right.
And now that I'm going back through it, I'm seeing things, oh, yeah, that's easy fix. Or, I could see that, just in 45,000 words.
Yeah, dude.
It's so much, like, there's a whole different perspective. And that was one, I'm going to start doing some writing videos, and that was, I have a list over there, actually, for a video, and that was one of them was, a tip was, don't edit while you're writing. Do not edit. Just write, and because by the time you...
Right.
When you get to the end, when you come back for the editing phase, that's a whole different step. Let the future you be the editor.
I like that.
You know, because that
I like that
person 2 years down the road or a year, however long it takes you to write the actual book, is a hell of a lot better writer than the person who sat down on chapter one.
You damn right.
So that was
that's cool. That'd be a good video.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, hey, we got to do something different, right? We're not doing Einstein here. His definition of insanity,
right?
Because, like you said,
but listen, that makes me feel good though. Because like, if you're saying that you're a way better writer,
I can tell already.
Then now think about this. Book two will be better than book
and
one.
And that's the thing, man.
And then book three will be better than book two.
And that's the scary part, is that that part of it makes me feel good because I know I'll be a better writer, but I'm thinking, God, that's another whole book or another two, but whatever it ends up being.
You'll get quicker.
You will, but will I have enough story, or will other things come to me? I've already got ideas already. Like,
I need
it. Cause once this is like, literally once you get this one going and it's ready to roll and you're like, you know, you got the book, it's done, it's ready to be printed. You've got your things, you've checked off everything, check mark, it's ready to go. And you got a date where you can start taking pre-orders and all that shit. You start writing book two. I mean, you start then. You need to. You don't have to.
Yeah.
But I'm already thinking that too, so that's another daunting task. But hey, when I open the book and I have the hardcover version and the soft cover and I see it on Kindle.
Oh yeah, you'll be like flipping it and smelling the pages.
Oh God.
It's gonna be awesome.
I can't wait. I mean, I don't care. I mean, it'd probably sell 10 copies, but damn it.
Doesn't matter. No.
I mean, it matters in the sense if I eat or not, but yes.
But the cool thing is though, listen,
make tens of dollars.
I mean, I'm not like some expert or whatever, but it's kind of like a YouTube video that is put out in the past and gets no action, but then something happens and all of a sudden it gets action. It could be one of those situations where you think, hey, this thing's not selling, and then boom, all of a sudden it goes.
That's the great part about a book, though, because you put it out, you get it out there on all the platforms, and this will be, like, you can go into your bookstore and order this one and stuff. It'll always be there to market forever, and maybe one day it catches on, you know what I mean? Maybe the third one's really good, and that makes people, people hear about, maybe there's some buzz, you know.
That's right.
5 years down the road.
Yeah.
And then somebody picks up the whole set, you know, so you can always, it's always there.
Always there, dude.
Always there. So that's what's cool about a book.
And it's going to be there after you're gone.
I just need, yes.
That's the cool thing, too.
Yeah. And
it's almost like a kind of
little mini legacy.
Yes.
Little small thing, but because, I mean, there's millions of great authors, but yes.
Doesn't matter.
It's something. And then that way, somebody at some point will utter my name.
Absolutely. That's important to me.
Right.
I love that.
Yes, exactly. So in some small way. So that is cool too. Cool aspect of it. But Dan, we've covered we went from YouTubers, Mr. Beast, to relationship advice, to fucking men's issues. I don't know what we've talked about.
Selling bath water.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We've ran the gamut.
Shower water. You blew that plan.
But no, yes, I've enjoyed it. I think it doesn't matter if we have like a specific topic to me now, it doesn't matter. We always catch our stride at some point.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And, most definitely.
And I think, you know, this being the first one that we kind of really was like, hey, let's just sit down. Talking.
Yep.
I think it did good, and I think we caught our stride, and we'll be fine. I think this will be
I've enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, me too.
I've it takes some pressure off of like, hey, we got to have a topic, or you know what, nothing came on this week that we both really got into, or
we did watch Jamie Lannister.
Oh yeah, we did watch a good movie with Jamie Lannister
in a movie. Yeah, I mean, that was a trip, and
it was pretty good.
Yeah,
it had some issues we called out, but
we called out
good
issues. But the cool thing was. We kept guessing things, and they surprised us some, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, what was the gathering?
The silencing.
I
keep
saying the gathering.
And,
when I first pulled it up, it had five reviews, but there were 4.5 stars.
Yeah.
And then you came over the next night at 9?
Mm-hmm.
So it was. I just happened to catch it looking for new movies.
Yeah,
and then I'd watched the Power movie the night before on Netflix.
Yeah, still Project gotta watch Power. That one. Still Project gotta watch that
Power.
One.
Project Power. Jamie Foxx. So that was good. That was good to see him in a movie that wasn't complete trash.
So you watched Jamie Foxx one night, Jamie Lannister.
I did. I did. As we've always said, or Gray made it famous, but I think a lot of us have said Nickelodeon, Costco, Walmart.
Yes, that's what you told me that night. Because his name is wild.
Yeah, that's why we go with Jamie.
But that was that's right. He'll always be a movie with Jamie Lannister in it.
He'll always be Jamie Lannister, and they got exactly who we're talking about, obviously.
That's right.
So,
but yeah, we did watch that, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was entertaining. Wasn't perfect, but. It's worth $4.99 or something.
We need to find out
on Amazon.
We need to find out what's happening with Kathleen Zellner.
Yeah, there needs to be an update on that shit too. We'll definitely do a podcast when something comes out. Yeah. I don't know what's happening with that. I hadn't looked lately.
Because I don't want her to get bored and give up on it or whatever, because it looks like that whole state's against them.
I know. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I don't know. I know that they were waiting on this last something, but now with COVID, everything's delayed. I don't know. So it's just another thing. I want to see something happen with that. I look forward to whatever that is.
Me too.
Hopefully it's the right thing. I mean, again, based off our opinions.
That's right.
But whatever. Anyway, we'll get to it when it happens. I'll go check her Twitter account and see if she's posted anything.
Well, cool deal, man.
All right, I guess we're good.
Yeah,
we've take all that advice, and we're gonna let it
fade to black.
All right.